Blog Talk Radio.
She's Raising the Bar.
Thank you, dear.
Woohoo! On Blog Talk Radio.
Wednesday.
Coming at you live and kicking every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. We thank you for joining us on the East Coast. We've had three lovely days so far, I think, right?
I know.
Weather started being nice on Monday.
That's how February is. February is always nice.
Yeah.
I tell you, every year, March, I'm very afraid of.
In Italian, mazzi pots. March is crazy because it could be, you know, the old thing was it comes in like a lion, goes out
like a
lamb.
Right.
And it's been reversed for the past several years. So, you know, but there's no such thing as climate change. That's just...
No.
We're just speaking...
Who makes that up?
Yeah, I know. It's always them. It's always them. They don't know what they're talking about.
The old thing.
But... we have a new segment today, and the we that's involved in the new segment
is...
the ladies behind the mic are to my left and always close to my heart is lovely Lee Tigman.
And to my right is the lovely and very talented Lori Towers.
And thank you. I got the same thing as you.
Yes.
What did you give
magic.
Me you got
we're
me,
magic.
You got me you honked at one. What? You got did something that I thought was total a game show. It was something that was really bizarre once.
What's that?
Yeah, it was something else, though. But I don't know.
I'm just
happy it's not a boo.
No
I'm
boo.
I'm not happy it's not a boo.
No boo.
And, yeah, it's this next segment that we're actually bringing on board. Thank you, Bonnie Tyler. I'm just saying in pursuance of what I said about her, the song that she sang was about a guy. I need a hero. Again, it's the exact flip side of what we're talking about. But I really couldn't find any song that
I need hero in our song.
Right. But the thing is, we always forget that H-E-R, the her in hero.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's really
that's
what
right.
we're platforming. Not the, you know, all the boys who are getting, all the boys that are getting up and saying, oh, my God, can't believe it. Effing dykes. What are they talking about? Why is it always? We're not saying that we can't have men as heroes. We can have women as heroes, too. And anybody in your life can be a hero. You know, it's what they represent to you. And I think that it's a wonderful climate for women to realize that there are just so many unspoken heroes that are women in the world, and they might be women of note, and they might be women that aren't on the radar mm-hmm. in any specific way, and are noteworthy.
Everybody has their individual hero.
And it's really it's so subjective. It's mm-hmm. just based on what you feel
I just had a brain fog.
Well, that's okay. I'm here to blow the fog away. But what I'm trying to say is I think that's it's different to every individual, and I think that's the way it should
that's,
be.
That's the truth.
But I think that now especially it's time to bring out the women to be heroes, and men could be heroes too. I mean,
mm-hmm.
there are a lot of women that I know that always say their fathers were the heroes, and not because they were the breadwinner, not because they were anything that was stereotypical of men. They just were. They loved them very much, and they were very supportive, and they were always there to
right.
nurture them in every way possible and make them. Well, see, that's the whole thing. I always rail against that knight in shining armor because it's usually someone who's helpless and needs a man to fend for her.
It's All right.
You know what I'm saying?
But what else? Is there a female knight?
Well,
is there a
word
for
it? I'm sure there were many female warriors. There were many, but the thing is, again, an oppressed class is kept that way because there are always two sides.
Right.
One that is, it's always the haves and the have-nots. That's really what it always comes down to.
See, when you say that about the men thing, about the knight shining over, I don't believe that. I just think it's a term. It doesn't have to be male or female in my eyes. I never meant it that way.
There's never any male knight.
Because the knight in shining, I mean, you're going back into the original state, but it's anybody that saves somebody's lives.
But, again, the term is usually, and again,
this is
something that probably will probably long be gone when the terminology has changed, but it's a terminology that was always used and is doctrined for many, many years.
But I don't see it that way.
But, see, a knight is always a man.
Right.
That's just the way
it is. I totally get it.
Can a knight be a woman? I'm sure could have been. I'm sure there were many women that were physically capable. I mean, when you think about the women of the older days that were subject to doing such harsh labor, of course they were strong enough to give birth and then go back to work and physical tasks, and of course, but it wasn't permitted. So this is why I'm saying men can certainly be heroes in different ways. I mean, if I was going to choose a male hero, it wouldn't be someone who was saving me.
Mm-hmm.
It would be somebody that I care about, but it wouldn't be the stereotypical script that women have gone for many, 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 many centuries. So that's what we're saying. But it means something different to everybody, you know?
Definitely.
And
that's how I use the terminology.
Yeah.
There's no other way. I don't use it as a female, male, or any other. Anybody could be a knight in shining armor in my eyes. Anybody. But if you're going to dissect it and go back to where it originally came from, that's a totally different story because it's definitely a man, a knight.
Of course.
But I don't use it that way.
Well, I know. I tend to always be a little bit – I never use that term because, you know,
and you know
I
what?
Am
nowadays, there could be female knights. We won't know because there's no such thing.
Well, I'm trying to think.
You know?
I'm trying to think. I have to ask Natalie about
the royal family, as with the
pomp and circumstance of
right.
Well, I know the Buckingham Palace. I'm trying to think. I think there are now women at the
gate.
There
you go.
I could be misspeaking, but I'm going to check with her. But I think that that's a very concerning.
Yeah, maybe they're called knightists.
They would have to change it. When you think about it, they have to change the term.
But why would they have to change the term when I'm just saying to myself and to everybody that's listening and to you is that I don't use it as a gender quote.
Okay.
I don't.
Okay, now think about this. And this is going to be a very, very sharp contrast.
Mm-hmm.
There are words that are used by a younger generation that are harshly accepted by older generations.
Give me an
example. The N-word. Now.
You can't use that anymore.
No, what I'm trying to say is how often do you hear kids in the street saying it? Now.
Never.
Oh, but no, to each other. They call each other.
African-Americans
do.
I don't see white people call each other that name.
I've seen that.
I've never seen that.
If you're saying my, it means you're like a friend and everything. So, but what I'm trying to say is it's a word that we know the harsh ramifications and root of that kids that are like in their teens now, they've heard of it, but they've never seen it in action. They've never seen how horrible that word was to generations, a century of people.
Because they weren't taught about it.
Right. But you know what? The thing is, to them, it's just so far removed that, that's fine. That was then. But see, that's why I'm not saying we have to rewrite history, but that's why certain things have to be retracted, like night. Now, unless they come up with something that's a little bit more friendly and obviously meaning both genders, that's going to kind of be hard because knight is a knight. Usually it's a man.
Right.
It's just like changing the term a father. Father is usually a man.
Right. That I get.
Now,
I get.
A woman can. Now, there are many men out there that are single parents, and they are very maternal, and they try to play two roles. But they still are the role of a father.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying they definitely have to. That can't be stretched in some way.
I understand.
That's what I'm saying.
No, I totally get what you're saying.
We just have to figure out.
But night is not a popular word that's used all the time.
No,
it's
not.
So you can't take father and put it compared to night.
No, but
tonight.
You know what I'm saying.
I totally get it.
It's something that's going to have to be worked on.
But again, it's just too much dissecting.
Into
a lot of stuff. And I think that's what the media does. The media dissects everything, it's too much, but in a way,
sometimes it's too little. Sometimes we attack the wrong things, I think. Sometimes I think there are things that I even said, oh, you know what, you could just come on, enough with that. It's over. But then there are things, look, something like this, maybe the word night will never come up. Maybe it's something that's going to be part
right.
of...
Right. It's not a popular
not.
Word
okay, that,
that's said
it.
All the time.
But like I said, and I said this, I think, on... was it last week's show? I'm trying to think. Yeah, I think it was our show we had with our roundtable lovelies, Nancy Donahue and Patricia Martin. I was saying that I think that, and you've heard me speak, that one of the biggest atrocities that placed upon women was the song "Someday My Prince Will Come,"
mm-hmm.
as beautiful as it is, and da da da, yeah. Because it's like that whole stereotypical, you know, why be a princess? And you've sent me that lovely post that I put up: teach our daughters not to grow up to be a princess,
change their wording.
And I think that that's a great mm-hmm. thing to think about. All these things that we should ask. In fact, I'm gonna pull that up now, and I'm gonna read it aloud. And all the words that we need to reinforce our young ladies' vocabularies, but not only our young ladies, our young men, so that they know that these are not words that you should be fearful of, jealous of, threatened by.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the best
thing. And
when
you're done, I want to talk to the opposite of that.
What are you going to say, baby? You just tell me now while I'm looking. So we fill the airspace. So go ahead, honey.
About princesses.
Speak of your mind.
Now, one day my prince will come.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's a song that was okay from years ago.
Mm-hmm.
If you take princesses now... Okay, that actually is taught from watching these Disney movies that you want to be a princess. They're not looking, they don't even understand the concept of waiting for their prince
mm-hmm.
to come. They just want to look like a princess,
mm-hmm.
you know? And as they get older, I don't think it's really in their head that they're really waiting for their prince to come.
Well, I hope
not. It's just a song.
I hope not.
It's just a song.
Okay, here are the words. And to your point, I think that's right. I mean, I haven't seen much of the movies like Frozen and all the,
right.
the big movies that are on. That
but
I'm sure
the kids
are.
Take from that just to look like that and dress like them. They have no idea what the concept of waiting for their man to come and save them. They don't grasp that.
No, I hear you.
They don't grasp that. So it's us at this age. That, you know, not even our age.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as you get older, I think they realize that they don't need a man to be their prince.
Well, this is what I, and you found this for us. Alternatives to calling her princess or beautiful.
Right.
Okay? These are words that we should keep in mind when we tell our daughters, well, what are you brave? Are you smart? Are you strong, curious, warrior, healthy, creative, leader,
mm-hmm.
original,
right.
sensitive? Yeah, especially original. I think that's great for anybody who didn't feel out of the crowd,
mm-hmm.
out of the loop,
sure.
like, you know, a loner. That's a great thing. Inventive, respectful, spirited, focused, confident, athletic, humane, capable, unique, gentle, decisive, resilient, insightful, thoughtful, determined, imaginative, trustworthy, resourceful. See, I like that, resourceful. Great friend,
that's
quick
what the
thinking.
Money sign is.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, I think it reeks of independence. Quick thinking, fit, kind, caring, honest, reliable, dynamic, autistic, upbeat, vibrant, loyal. These are words that a little girl should know
mm-hmm.
and a little boy should say, yeah, that's what I want to see.
But
and
you could say that's a little boy also.
Absolutely, but little boys always get that. See, that's the difference. Little boys are always taught
I think little boys have a lot of pressure also.
Of course they do.
Because, you know, they have the pressure of, you better get, you know, get a good job.
Of course.
Because you got to support your family.
Listen.
And you got to support your wife. You got to do, there's another.
There's a flip side to that.
Yes.
And I always say this.
Yes.
When people were laughing at, you know, that I'm going to say I hope he's brought up on perjury charges, Brett Kavanaugh.
He had a big smile on his face. I'm just going to sidetrack
mm-hmm.
for a second. He had a face that he couldn't believe he was there. He was very relieved.
Mm-hmm.
And he almost looked like he was grateful he was
mm-hmm.
there after all that
mm-hmm.
that he's been through.
TikTok.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, ahead of time. But... And that's a face of privilege and not knowing, you know, and just he's always had it his way.
90% of the politicians are privileged.
Well, of course, but now I'm making a point. As much as I can't stand to look at him, when he was crying, I don't have a problem with men crying.
No.
I would not say, oh, look at him, he's a wimp. Uh-uh. I don't think a man crying is a wimp.
Who would say he's a wimp? The men would say it.
No.
Not the women.
No. Some women did say that.
You think so?
I heard it. And I was the first to say, even if women that usually agree with me. That doesn't make a man weak. So I always say,
no, definitely not.
Teach your little boys it's okay to cry. It's okay.
Right.
It's okay. So, I mean, if I'm going to stick up for the little girls, I'm going to stick up for the little boys,
right,
too.
Right. We have our own little precious.
Of course. But the thing is, if we could just do, look. The watering and the nurturing has usually been the little boy flowers.
Mm-hmm.
We always paid a little bit more attention. The little girls, you know what, you're going to get married, you're going to be fine, blah, 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 and don't do this, don't do that, you're a girl. Okay, we don't have that now, but we had it generations, our generation and generations before that. So that was always the case. But, yeah, I want the little boys to be treated with respect and nurtured and loved and made feel whole and safe and crying. And, yeah, absolutely. And everybody's got the right to be their individual.
Yeah.
And marry a healthy person.
Right.
And that's the whole thing. But
right.
You can't marry a healthy person if you're not a healthy person.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And this is the way it goes.
Exactly. That is the truth.
But in talking, and anybody who's listened to the show, and, of course, her ears must be bleeding when one of my heroes now, I'm always going to say, I think of Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yeah.
Because as we get older and we're in contact with more older women, I know my mother-in-law is still with me, thank God, but my mother passed, but I'm around more women of that generation, and I look at Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who is cancer survivor, I think, 3 times, right?
Mm-hmm.
Buried her son, buried her husband, and was back at work the next day. Now, again, incentive, and I'm not saying that's necessarily healthy, because I think you do need to mourn.
That's how she kept herself
healthy. That's how she does it.
That's her coping skills.
And broke her ribs, and she said, I got 10 more.
Right.
She told her nephew, I got to get back to work. I got 10 more. I got things to do. Bring my work to the hospital. And he did. And this is my personal heroes. It's definitely, that's how I want to age. That's okay. Now she's back this morning. She was back training with her Navy SEAL.
Good for her.
And
good for her.
Trains with him 5 days a week and then goes right into, drives herself.
Now why wouldn't
back
she?
To, well, the thing is sometimes, you know.
If she could train with a Navy SEAL, she can't drive herself to work.
Well, I'm always worried she can't see above the window, the steering wheel. That's just my thing. But that's kind of what I think of as a realistic hero.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, because I could say, well, my template would have been the Lauren Bacall type. But that's...
Really?
Well, in the movies. You took them the 50s movies.
In the movies.
Right. But I'm saying that... I'm not saying Lauren Bacall is a person. I'm sure she was lovely. But I'm just saying, but that type
The type of character she
was.
Yeah,
she was her own person.
Right.
Didn't answer to a man. And she just did her own thing, had her own voice, and was pretty much... But again, that was scripted. So, she could have been very close to the character that she played. But Ruth Bader Ginsburg is definitely that. Definitely that. So that I would say, if I had to pick anyone, it would be that. For now.
For now. Still young.
Who did you have on tap? You had the...
I have on tap?
I will tell you
exactly who I have on tap. I just got to pull it up. And I will tell you, is she my hero? No. But I'm going to give a kudos.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. Kudos to, her name is Iris Epfel. She is 97 years old and accidentally become a fashion icon. Now, I've
with
seen
what?
Her.
With what, though? I don't know.
Just her look. She has that out there look. Okay?
Okay.
You've seen her. She's got that short gray hair with round glasses.
Yeah.
So.
Well, so did Phil Rizzuto. But that, you know.
Yeah, but that's a man. That's
I'm
the way they all
saying,
are. Like,
I said,
come on.
I didn't, nothing stood out when I saw her picture. I know
there
I've
There is
seen
nothing
her.
To stay out. But you know what? She's kept herself in good shape. She's a strong woman.
But she was, what was her background? Was she a model at one point? Because there was that, oh, my God. And I remember one of my friends used to see her.
Well, a modeling, the IMG Models signed her up.
I know, but what was she before that?
Let's see, what was she? I was a do-it-yourself girl. Never expected my life would take this turn, so I never prepared for it. Oh, she started in a textile company.
Ah, okay.
With her late husband, Carl.
Mm-hmm.
And she was actually in campaigns with Kate Spade, MAC Cosmetics, HSN,
mm-hmm.
a lot more, yeah. So she's had experience
cool.
there, you know. But she's 97 years old.
97.
Imagine.
And I have to say something. She's 97 years old and still giving interviews. That's, I have to be, you know, mentally.
Yeah, but it doesn't look like she's stopping.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
See, there's 97 and there's 97. And that's not the not the average 97.
That's a very few like that 97,
well,
I have
to tell
you. Well,
you know what, you have to look at it this way.
And if you had a good life and yet you were comfortable and
mm-hmm.
nothing really got you down, I'm sure she didn't have any kids to put her down.
But you know
and
something?
Drag her down.
You know, I bet you she did. Why would kids drag you down?
It just, you know, slows you down.
Bella Abzug had kids.
Yeah. I'm just saying. Didn't say anything about her kids.
Yeah, but, I mean, there are a lot of women who are just, you know, CEOs
right.
and didn't have kids. But the thing is, I think what kept her, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg had four kids. So, you
wow.
know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But I think her incentive was the fact that she always did. And I think that's what also keeps you sharp at 97. The fact that your brain never stops.
No.
You know,
no.
that's the
no.
thing. I mean, it's just, it's very, very hard. And, you know, at our age, and in conversations that we have in our daily lives with people, there's always this regret. And I was having a conversation with my sister-in-law the other day, actually yesterday, and she was saying that she felt, you know, she regretted not going for more education when she was younger because
mm-hmm.
you always say, I'm going to take a year off and I never go back for it. And she never did, and she regrets it now. And my thing is always, why is now too late? And hers is like, well, it's too late now. But you know, I'm always of the mindset, okay, so you're 50-something.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be 60-something.
Right.
Be 60-something with value. Be 60-something with something that you feel good about, something you believe in. That's how life is.
I understand what you're saying, and I totally agree with you, but some women, I'm going to take case in point
mm-hmm.
myself,
mm-hmm.
is that I don't have the stamina anymore to do and go, and, you know, if I wanted to take these classes, I'm sure they're not going to be close to where she lives. She'll have to travel. She'll have to do a lot of investigation and stuff like that. So it takes a lot of, you know, information, research, and, you know, I don't have patience anymore.
Yeah.
I really don't have patience. I want something, and I want it now, and I don't want to wait for it, you know?
But, you know,
that's the way I am.
I think, and that's fine.
And I'm sure a lot of women our age are like that. You're not like that.
I didn't even say anything.
Because you're the one who brought it up.
No, but I
why
think,
now? Why is
but,
it too late?
But the thing is, for those women that are saying, you know something, I think, because there are women that think, I have so much more to offer.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do?
Mm-hmm.
Women like this are a wonderful example of the fact that they really don't stop the clock at a certain point. Don't
right.
think that, well.
But I'm sure she runs in the same circles also as everybody else over there.
But what I'm trying to say is it's again, you'll get in where you fit in,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure she always
mm-hmm.
did. But the fact that I'm sure at one point, 97, that woman probably saw everything. I mean, you talk about
yeah.
she was around
yeah.
when you know, well, it was just women were 97. Okay, women just got the right, 100 years we're celebrating.
Yeah.
So okay, women just got the right to, when she was probably 5 years old. She was in an era that women voting was still new.
Right.
So.
Yeah, she's seen everything.
She's seen everything.
Yeah.
And pushed against, I'm sure, a lot of male oppression and working with her husband. I mean, I'm sure they were a team. So, and she's still there. And it was probably very easy for her to say, you know, ugh, my God, night, look at me, I'm 97.
Right.
Shut up, bitch,
but
I'm 97.
She doesn't want to give up.
But I think that's great.
And a lot of women have that in them. A lot do. You're one of them.
But that's what I'm saying. Well,
you're
I'm not 97, but I'm just
no,
saying.
No, but I'm just saying, at 95, 96, 97, you will be the same way.
Because
I'm sure she had your personality.
And there's, but what I'm saying is it's not for everybody, and
no.
Everybody's got the right to,
exactly.
to go along their path,
mm-hmm.
as long as, you know, give to the planet, give to each other, and be happy. But for the women who are out there saying, my God, what am I going to do? You know, and I've had a friend once whose mother got a law degree when she was, oh, my God, probably 64, something like that.
Good for her.
And I think she practiced a while, and
mm-hmm.
but why not? You know, it's
no,
just like if you
listen,
can.
There's no stopping
yeah,
anybody that
yeah.
wants
so
not to be stopped.
That's what this.
That's it.
This
if
segment,
you want it, you can get it.
Yeah. And I think that's what this segment is going to be. Showing the examples of we're going to be either getting guests on a show
mm-hmm.
where people could call in 347-857-1867 and tell us if you want us to platform. It could be somebody you know. It could be a neighbor that you, anybody.
And tell
you
us
want.
Why
and tell
you
us
think
why.
They're,
and, yeah.
they're
and,
your
and
hero.
It'll be a nice little thing. It'll be a nice little homage to the, or maybe 1 month we'll profile a specific woman. You know, I mean, it's Black History Month now, so if I have to pull a name out of the hat, I would say certainly Rosa Parks. Easily.
Sorry, you just took it right out of my head.
Easily. Ruby Dee, who is a great political activist. Shirley Chisholm, I'm sure
there's a lot.
I'm, you know, not mentioning somebody, but that's off the top of my head.
Right.
And for Women's History Month, which is next month, we'll...
it's this month. Oh, next month.
It's March.
This is Black History
yeah.
Month. Yeah. Right.
So there'll be plenty.
Oh, there's
but,
plenty.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
There'll be plenty. And
in between our guests.
Yeah. I mean, but this is just
right. But that will be like a little segment for us
yeah.
to add to it.
Because I mean, it's. I think it's like very, very easy
mm-hmm.
to you know get. I mean, look. This is a time where I think we need to. I mean, this show could get political, and we could, like, go back and forth with some negative stuff, because there is a lot of negative
sure.
stuff. But the thing is, I
especially
think we also,
time
oh,
yeah.
my God, but at the least we can do is bring about some positive things, you know, because there's always a happy ending story somewhere. It might not be visible, but it's happening, and we should at least, you know.
Platform it.
I'm trying to think of that woman now.
Which one?
That older model. And you know what? Victoria, who came on, Victoria Marie.
Okay.
Oh, my, she knows her. And so does Lauren.
Oh, the one
her.
That's
oh
in the commercial.
God, yeah, and you know what? Griselle. No, not Mae Musk. This is, in fact, one of my friends used to treat her as a physical therapist. She was going to her for knee problems. And I used to see her in the waiting room. Can't think of her name. Stunning woman, but she's an older model. She's the oldest Vogue model. She's 90, I believe.
Really?
Yes. And still, I mean, stunning strike. Graciella, and you know, she actually had. She came to, unfortunately, headlines again. She had given a lot of money to Bernie Madoff. Oh, how many years ago is that? 10,
yeah.
12 years ago. And lost everything.
Everybody did.
Thing.
Everybody did.
Lost a house,
mm-hmm.
lost everything, and had to rebuild from there. So yeah, but that's when you first showed me that lady's picture.
You thought it was her?
I was squinting because I was like, is that her with big glasses? I mean, I wasn't really sure. But
she's like mature like that, like put together.
Yeah.
There's a word for it. Like when somebody's just
very
so
tailored, very well put together.
Tailored,
yeah,
I guess that's the word.
Yeah.
Tailored, you
very
know.
Very classy.
Classy
look.
Older
yeah.
woman,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. But, and you know, another woman who was definitely ahead of her time, and you probably you use this product every day.
What's that?
This product that you use on paper every single day.
On paper?
Whiteout. Whiteout. And the woman who invented Whiteout and who was smart enough to put a patent on it, Mike Nesmith's mother. Mike Nesmith from the Monkees?
Oh, okay.
His mother invented Whiteout.
Really?
Yep. And she was a stenographer. She was working in an office, and she was a single mother. And she invented this.
That
and
is wild.
She was smart enough. I forgot the exact the back. I used to know the backstory a little bit more fluently, but she was smart enough to hook up with a friend of hers who knew an attorney and blah 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 blah. And you know, even if he didn't make any millions on the Monkees,
he made it with that.
And that was I mean,
successful
think about
life.
That. Think about that. How
white out? You know how
because,
big?
Right.
Oof.
Because it was. And her thing was. It was so much easier than getting another sheet.
Yeah,
get
just
up and
white
get
it out. Just that little part.
That's exactly right. And I'm saying we use it every single day.
Yeah.
So now there was a woman who was thinking way beyond her time.
And you know what's funny? I thought a man invented it.
Mm-mm. It was. Let me. I'm gonna look up her name. I'm sure it was Nesmith. I'm sure her
Nesmith.
Name. Nesmith. Yeah. But I mean, think about that. I mean,
it's wild.
And. She had the wherewithal to say, well, you know what, I came up with this as a great idea, and she stayed with it, and she made sure that she owned, the family owns 90% of the stock, which is a good amount. But, I mean, that's pretty much what we want this show to be about, instead of, like, you know.
Well, not inventors in general.
No.
That just really, you know.
No, but
should be
saying.
Highlighted. Ha! Who invited
highlighted.
The Who invented the highlighter?
Well, I think we might be overreaching with that.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? But this is just like a nice little. You know something, Lita? I didn't even like we launched right into our little topic. I didn't even ask you how you were.
I'm good.
Yeah. Anything
I'm very
new?
Very good. Anything new? No. No.
Nothing new in your world. Nothing new in your photography.
No, nothing.
And incidentally, anyone who doesn't know anything about the lovely Lee Ziegelman is, she is an absolute wonderful photographer.
Well, thank you.
And if you go
thank
to
you.
Her Facebook page, you will see, and if you go to my Facebook page, you will see her stunning work is usually
your profile
my
picture.
Profile picture. And my cover. Is that,
right.
is that my saying it right, the cover?
The cover photo.
Yeah, the cover photo. And what is it? Give a shout out to your
what?
Your Instagram and your website because
well, the website I'm getting a brand new website
oh, okay.
soon.
So you don't
I'm
wanna,
not even
you don't
no because
it.
It ends in like a
okay,
couple
then
days.
Instagram.
Instagram is just Elite Photography New York, NY.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm like disappointed with the photography world because
okay.
it's just. There's so many people that say that, like, we just complained about this.
We said last week.
Everybody's a photographer, and I'm seeing the work that gets praised that is just so terrible. And then I just sit there, it's just like, you know, it's terrible because I just don't know what else to say.
Mm.
It's a very competitive field, very competitive field.
Well, anything in the arts is, you know,
yeah,
and that's,
yeah.
that's the problem.
Because there's so many of them. It's
mm-hmm.
saturated. It's totally saturated. But you know what? At the end of the game, I do it because I love it.
That's it.
That's it. And if nobody could appreciate it, I love it. So as long as I love it.
But, you know, I always say that you think about all the Juilliard grads and all the people that have an amazing amount.
I was sitting in my daughter's apartment yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
We got three people. Doesn't matter the gender. Went to graduate. They all graduated college.
Mm-hmm.
Two musical theater. They do nothing in the musical theater atmosphere. And one went to Baruch and made up his own thing. But he does lighting.
Mm-hmm.
So he does lighting for, it was so funny the way he broke it down yesterday. He goes, he's doing Fashion Week. Fashion Week starts this week.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's not doing the fashion show lighting. He's doing the lighting where they get their makeup and hair done.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and I said, so what does it take? Oh, it takes a long time. I said, just imagine. To light up a room.
Mm.
for all this experience, it's the same thing. It's all the same thing. But it all goes down into experience and who you know and how you get in there. It's just, it's remarkable how the art is who you know. And it's not how good you are, because it doesn't matter anymore.
Mm.
I've seen the worst work, the worst anything, whether it be writing, whether it be music, whether it be anything, be, you know, not recognized compared to the good stuff.
And I always say that.
It's because we don't know nobody.
But the truth is, you look at people that, and I always say reality shows are what most people, I know, many of the actors that I know can't stand reality
right.
because it's like, okay, how is this possible? Susan Silver,
right.
who was our guest and a friend of the show, wrote for thousands and thousands of comedies.
Sitcoms.
Mm-hmm. And yet she can't get arrested now. Why? And she's still funny. I mean, she's been on the air. She's still hysterical.
It's not the same humor as it was
at
her age.
But you know
though.
What? But she also can, she's wise enough to know what, then nobody's giving her a chance.
No.
I mean, all she would have
it's
to
age.
Do is,
it's ageism.
It's ageism. See, that's exactly
what I tell you that
is.
All the time. It's ageism.
That's exactly what it is. But, you know, back to the point about lighting, I remember back, and again, we're going to go back to when magazines were relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime I had photo shoots in my office, Vogue or whatever, Allure, and we would have a makeup person come down, and, you know, then a lighting person would have to come down and be like, it's a small room, and it's a lot of mirrors. What do we need lighting for? No, we need lighting.
It's a big thing, lighting.
I remember I would have to cancel half of my day,
which
meant
the
me
lights
losing
have to
money
be right.
Because, okay, this person can't come, but this guy doesn't specialize, so we have to wait for Norman to come.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what? What's the difference? It's lighting.
It's another world for you.
No, it's not.
I know.
We need him.
For
he
us.
Specializes it. And then there would be the hour setting up and the hour breaking down.
Yep, exactly.
And that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. Well, it does, but you're in a more, I don't know, in a more corporate world, I have to say. You know, it's just more bigger. You know, I'm sure the lighting, the photographer is going to take care of the lighting at the moment, because things are so different now. They could just put up a light and you got the light.
I could tell you now, the last magazine that came down, the editor took the picture herself with a
cell
phone.
There you go.
So that.
So it's just so different nowadays. So different. So different.
Well, that's.
And you know what? And I've said this on multi shows. All social media's fault. We are ruined by social media.
I'm going to save that point, and it's so funny. I'm glad you brought that up, because it's going to be a nice segue into what I'm going to say. I said to John this morning, because of social media, because we saw something on social media that somebody was complaining about, and blah, 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 and everybody was coming. It was something, I'm not going to name names, but somebody that was making a big deal out of something that was just no reason to bring it to social media, no reason to have pictures. And everybody like, oh, my God, poor thing, blah, blah. You know, you see the, you know what I'm saying, all the, like, 31 comments of, oh, poor thing. And I said, you know something? We have become a society that doesn't know how to suffer in silence.
Yeah.
Every little thing.
Yeah.
We need, and I'm talking with somebody my age, somebody our age.
I know. Our age is the worst.
I could see.
Our age is the worst.
I can see the kids.
The kids aren't as bad. They just take pictures when they're out and partying and stuff like that. They don't tell them how they feel, you know, I can't believe that this, or complain about something. Listen, I'm going to tell you that my Steve got a car wash yesterday, okay? And he's been waiting all week to do it. Goes to the car wash, and they did a horrible, horrible job.
Car wash?
Terrible job. And they did do a horrible job, I have to tell you.
Mm.
But me, I wouldn't do this. He put it on social media.
But that's a different story.
It's not a different story. You're hurting. Just because one person had a bad experience, listen, he's right, okay? He's right. But you just said nobody could suffer in silence.
But no, okay.
Nobody could suffer in silence. Everybody's got a purge.
I understand, but he's actually trying to be a consumer advocate. He's trying to say,
but
don't bring your car here.
Listen, years ago, you complain to your neighbor about it. You complain, don't go to that place. Don't go to that place. They suck. Now, putting it out on the web is putting it out in the universe, the whole universe. So you're talking to basically three people, to the universe.
Well, that's the whole thing.
And that's what's killed us.
Yeah.
It's killed us. It's totally, we're done. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse. I don't need what you made. I don't need to know what you made for dinner. I don't need to see pictures of it. Who cares?
See,
these are the things that are so stupid. So stupid. And you know what? It changes perspective of the person in general.
Yeah.
Because this constant attention-seeking person.
And that's it.
But everybody comments to them. And that's what keeps it going.
Yeah.
Well, that's what keeps it going.
My phrase is, you're picking up a crying baby. And that's really it. When anybody puts something out like that, I mean, look, I can't imagine, and I know I've never done it since I'm on Facebook probably 10 years now. There's never been a time, oh, I had a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I have a head. Well,
it's
funny
because
cares about me?
You get your memories on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And I guess because Facebook was fresh and all that, I got my memories. Like, and I remember, I think I first started Facebook in 2007, and this was 2007. It was my memory, and I remember. And it says, "Achoo, oh, guess what I have?" And I'm saying, I would never ever do that again.
Yeah.
Ever again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It was just like, how stupid of me.
Well, it's.
Did I grow up, or do I just see everybody doing it? That just nauseates me.
Probably both.
You know,
when you think about
but that's what's ruining our society.
Yeah.
Totally ruined us. It's going to ruin everything. It's social. We do not know. We don't need to know what you're thinking.
No. If you're making
You're making for dinner, your political structure, who cares?
Well, I mean, the thing is, if it's something that you're saying that's political, you're opening yourself up to different points of view, and that's fine if you want to go back.
Same thing with anything.
But I don't see the value in telling somebody, you know, my faucet broke.
No, yeah. And I'm waiting 3 hours for a plumber.
Who
fucking cares? Oh, excuse me.
That's okay. I'm going to hear from them tomorrow. Are we in R rating today? I don't think we are. All right. We'll hear from them tomorrow. When I do the R rating, sweetheart, on our, when it comes up, it says explicit language.
Oh.
So I didn't do it.
That was
so,
the first curse.
Yeah, it was the first curse. You know, and it's never, for anybody who wants to know us on the outside, it's usually me that has a mouth like a
dog. Yeah, I never curse.
Yeah, on a
dog. But it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really losing faith in humanity, what I see, you know, with all the things you read and all the things you see. It's just us. We're doing it to ourselves. We're going to kill ourselves, you know, little by little. No, I'm just saying. I know. No, but we're our society where technology is going to get better, and we're just going to hate each other more because you lost your job because of this, and I lost my job, and I see this person saying this, and I see this person saying that. We're just going to, like, really, like, fade off the universe. Am I going to be really morbid here?
Oh, my God. Not on me. What happened?
It's the truth. It's the truth. Everybody's out for one thing only. Money. Money,
but
money,
what
money.
What does that have to do with our she's my hero thing?
Well,
we got to bring that. We got to turn this truck.
Okay, I'm
we
sorry.
We got to turn this.
Sorry for getting off track.
No, to turn this truck around. We're going to turn this truck around, baby.
We're turning it around.
And
sorry.
No.
Positive note.
On a positive note.
Yes.
I was also talking about to my sister-in-law yesterday, and we were comparing notes between problems that our generation has as far as women, and we're up against a lot. But
us.
Yeah. But she was telling me about, we were talking about looking at, one of her aunts was, she had a picture of her aunt that was like 42.
Mm-hmm.
She looked 70.
Okay.
And we're just like talking, she said, yeah, but you know, she lived through this. And these were women that had actual tragedies in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And yet.
And it showed on their face.
And yet they lived. You know, and again, coming back to your point of, you know, this is going to sound crazy, none of them, I'm sure, would ever think of posting on social media,
no.
I lost my husband, I lost my child,
right.
I miscarried.
Right.
And this is to your point of, Yeah, there was something in us that we had the resilience.
We had to carry on.
We had the resilience.
We had to carry on.
Say, you know what? You know, the very British stiff upper lip kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to get through this. And I think sometimes the more adversity you have, the more hardship, that is just what propels you, because you get through that and you're better.
Mm-hmm.
If you come through it, you're stronger. And because you knew how to get through that time, you get through this time. And that's, I think, and you could imagine, the horrendous stories these women probably had. I'm sure most of them coming from different countries, not the best health care.
Sure.
Probably saw their parents not
too
well.
They have it so much worse than we do.
Oh, yeah.
So much worse. We are so spoiled.
We are spoiled.
So spoiled. And we constantly go, wah, wah, wah.
That's what I'm
saying.
Okay? And this is why we have lost all rights to our reasoning,
mm-hmm.
and our inner strength, and the fact that we have to come home and just say, well, I got to tell 1,000 people that don't even know me. You know, think about it. 1,000 people that will probably never be at my funeral. 1,000 people that will never show up for my kid's Christmas party. But 1,000 people that will never know me if I pass them in the street. I got to let them know something that has nothing to do with anybody else but me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
These women were able to bury their dead without public exclaim.
Announcements.
Yeah.
Well, then, you know, I have to say that it's much easier now, God forbid, you know, if somebody dies, you could put it out on the social media so you don't have to send out.
That's the best thing. Yes, yes,
okay?
Yes, yes.
Because
I totally get that.
You see the information,
mm-hmm.
you know where to go without speaking to everybody individually, which is what we did.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember.
You know, I remember you told me your mother was the
Death Central.
So that's the only positive part I've seen about.
No,
but
I agree.
And even if you're having a party or something, you could just send out invitations.
That's a different story.
It's an invitation and information alley only.
I think for that, I think it's wonderful.
Right.
For platforming certain
events.
But
to tell me that you're making spaghetti and meatballs for dinner, no.
Yeah. I see no value in that. And
no.
Like I said, there's a certain character building quality that going through hardship, you know, encourages. You know, I think that. So it's. I think this is what's going to be a wonderful part of this.
This segment, definitely,
mm-hmm.
definitely.
And we could do it. We could do it monthly. We could do it. But I think we're going to do it. I'd like to start doing it, especially for women.
Well, even if we do it a little, you know, like 5 or 10 minutes in a
I think
that'd
be
show,
a nice thing. I mean,
you know,
a nice
why not
shout out. You know,
yeah.
I think that would be a great thing. I'm going to also shout out to a woman that I wasn't sure I was that crazy about in the beginning, Nancy Pelosi. But I'm starting to really, really like it.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of years ago, there was a couple of things that I had issues with. But there was something on social media the other day that I thought was brilliant. Well, Trump finally got his wall, Nancy Pelosi. And I just think that she's just...
Isn't that wonderful that a woman is blocking him?
And, you know, it's funny.
And I'm sure never in a million years that he thought that a woman would ever block him. It doesn't matter who it is.
But you want to know what's interesting. Now, they're not ages apart.
No.
No. She's a little older
but
than him.
But, again, he's not brought up in the generation as we are.
But what I find interesting about...
Especially in a powerful businessman.
About him and her is... There's something that she hits. There's some nerve that she hits that has to go back to Mama. I don't know what his relationship was with
his
mother.
Or he could respect her. I think he respects her.
I don't know if his respect is born of something else that we don't view as respect. I mean,
right.
He's got a very different way of navigating.
Right. He's not our human, right.
But there is something in the way, and I noticed this, when it was Charles Schumer and her, and he was sandwiched between them,
mm-hmm.
there was something in this waving her finger at him. Now, again, she might be just maybe 3 years older than him. They're within their age, they're in their age group.
She
so
looks very
like,
good for her age.
Yeah, but it's not like he's 40 and she's so he's not. She's not a maternal figure, but there is something that she hits in this man that he just doesn't go further. Now, again, I would love to know what his relationship was with his mother, because there is something that is being exacted here that is phenomenal. And it's just a matter of time, because he says, I call her Nancy. It's a it's a matter of time before he calls her something. But this is I've never seen this moratorium on being any insulting remarks for anybody but with this woman.
Yeah.
And it's something deeper than respect. It's something deeper than fear, because he's not rational enough to really know fear. He's not that sensible. There's something that she does to him that goes back to mama.
You think so?
Yes. Either go back. Look, I always say he's a product of having too much of something and having too little of something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if his mother was a cold woman. He didn't get something as a child. And I know he was his allegiance to his father. You don't hear much about his mother. So I'm really wondering if it was a very cold relationship and there was...
Or of a disrespect on his father's side that he just didn't like.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was, but like I said, and we'll find out what this is.
Oh, yeah.
But there is this I find this fascinating, this dance that they have,
mm-hmm.
because I've never seen it. It's just like, and she sat there last night from what I saw, and I made
sure
I didn't
queen.
Watch it.
She was the queen of the ball.
She sat there, you know, calm as anything.
Yeah.
Sitting there next to Pence,
and
his face never changes.
He's a puppet.
What the frig? It's like
Trump could not have anybody but him in the vice president chair because he has no opinion.
He has no opinion. But nothing registers now. Either
nothing.
He's
just
there
dead face.
Saying a Hail Mary.
Yes.
Or something, but he's just, there's nothing that ever
changes. I would love to get
changes.
In the conversation, just to be a fly on the
mm-hmm.
wall, to see if he could really have a conversation.
But you know what I thought from what I saw last night, is you have polar opposites. You have her reacting to everything, and she wasn't being rude.
No.
But things were registering on her
right.
face, which
and
she didn't agree with.
And she didn't clap.
He never responded. Just, the face was blank.
Anything that he said, he stood up and clapped.
Well, but, because he has to, but the face, you never see.
It's blank.
The body and the...
Totally blank.
The action
no expression.
In the face just never met. It's just...
He's like a mannequin.
He's got headphones on, or... I don't know what he's doing.
I'm telling you, but Trump cannot have anybody but him in the office.
Well, of course, because we're...
There is nobody else but him.
Because...
Anybody else would quit or got fired.
Yeah. What keeps him there, I have absolutely no idea.
No personality.
I guess
no opinion.
Well, this is, I mean, I'm trying to think of the first time I ever heard of him, and I think it was when he was running with him.
Running.
That's it.
Yeah.
But never before. But maybe that's not fair, because I didn't hear about a lot of people
right.
before they ran, but... Usually
he
was there.
Right,
he
hasn't
this, he
not
was
made
that.
A notch in society. It's probably why.
Very, 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 very disturbing. I think he's more disturbing than Trump. But like I said, I think there's definitely something in that.
Oh yeah, definitely.
That relationship.
And that had.
Where he Trump is just.
I'm telling you, he's just going along with the flow. Pence, that's his name. Going along with the flow. I need a man that doesn't have an opinion, cannot say anything. Just be there. Say you're the vice president, and that's that.
Yeah.
And that's what he's
Pick
doing.
Pick up check and go home.
That's what he's doing.
Pick up check and go home.
That's what he's doing.
Home.
And Nancy, I mean, she was. You could tell when she didn't agree, and
mm-hmm.
you could tell her when she agreed.
You know what I loved? I saw her, and I posted it on I think, on Instagram and on a wall. I saw her speaking in a church in Queens, last year. Maybe around this time last year, I'm trying
mm-hmm.
to think. I think so. And it was so cute because she's a grandma, a proud grandma.
Sure.
And her boys, she's got, I think, more grandsons than granddaughters, but her whole family was there. And you could see, and this is a typical grandma thing, they were so proud of her, and they were, like, getting a little antsy, as the, like smaller ones would. And she, from where she was sitting, she just looked at them like, you know, that grandma looked like, what are you doing? And they just, like, stopped. And even the mothers were like, you know, the mothers, of course, her daughters and daughters-in-law were taking pictures and blah, blah, blah. But afterwards, typical grandma, they ran over and they hugged her. And I think that's a wonderful thing for little boys to see.
Oh, yeah.
They're proud of their grandma. And I know one was her daughter. I think the other was a daughter-in-law that came with the other grandchildren, and realizing, yeah, you know, that my mother-in-law is cool. You know,
yeah.
let the boys see this, and it's important for the little boys to see
she
that.
She represents something very important.
Yeah,
you
and
know?
You know, for, like I said, there were a couple of things that she did years ago. I wasn't that crazy about her.
Listen,
but you know what?
Everybody makes mistakes.
Yeah,
but you got to respect where she is now.
And you know what? What did she do? She was standing for 12 hours. Was it 24 hours that time in high heels?
Good for her.
And you know,
you could tell she's a firecracker.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
strong.
And again, she's done it all her life.
Right.
And I think that
right.
therein
right.
lies the difference.
Exactly.
You know,
that's her background. You
yeah.
know.
So and stopping is probably something she's
not in
do.
Her book.
No.
Mm-mm.
No. And I'm sure Beta Ginsburg is her
right.
role model.
Exactly. I'm sure it is. Totally sure it is.
Did you see that movie yet? Did you see the?
No.
I'm gonna go see it.
Still playing?
Yeah, it just came out.
Wait a couple of weeks. I don't think it's playing that anymore.
Really?
Yeah. Wait a couple of weeks, it'll be on cable.
She was actually quite a good-looking woman when
yeah.
she was young.
Well, the actress is better looking.
But no, but if you saw pictures, well, let me tell you, I mean, of course they're going to pick somebody,
right.
you know.
Right.
But, I mean, now, I mean, she's getting, again, she's hunched over. Her
she's old.
Terrible.
She lost her bone mass,
Yeah,
know?
But, I mean, she was always a little sparrow of
right.
one. Right.
Now she's
but,
even smaller because
yeah.
she shrunk.
She always reminds me of... A favorite singer of mine, Edith Piaf, who kind of looks, she was, I mean, terrible. I mean, she died when she was 42 and she had a heroin overdose. Oh, yeah. You know her. La Vie en Rose.
Okay.
That's a song. But she's got the same kind of, you know, she's, you know, going to be 90, you know, and one was just in her 40s and heroin, so. You know, that's the whole thing, you know. Say no to drugs, kids. But
yeah.
so
or
that,
the bones leach away 50 years later.
No, it's just that's how well it's just
either way we grow
that's
old.
That's exactly right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
and
exactly
the body takes
right.
hold of us, gravity holds, comes down, you know, all that stuff.
But that's gonna be
all pretty stuff.
She's our hero. Well, you know what? You know, I always think when people say, because I want to be cremated, when people say, oh my God, you really, you know, don't you care about your you really want your body burnt, and I always say, it's like opening up a can of soup. You have the soup. The can has nothing to do with anything anymore.
Mm.
That's it. Once I've moved on, the things that matter about me have already moved.
Yeah.
My body is just incidental. So where it goes, yeah, it's, you know, that's.
But I always think that, you know, you should have a mark in the world. Whether it be, I mean, it depends on how you look at it. You know, your mark in the world is, you know, touching people's lives and stuff like
that's
that.
All I
okay,
want.
But again, you know, in the Jewish religion, we don't believe in cremation.
Mm-hmm. I know. Well, we don't either, honey. It was a thing that my family went crazy.
Now they do it also in the Jewish religion. But the mark in the world is your tombstone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people use that. That is your mark. You came to this earth, and you're leaving, and that is your mark on the earth.
Well, you know, I also think I don't have a marking for my mother, but I always know every time I go to the promenade or something, we sprinkle her ashes there. Cause
right,
because
that's
so
where you put your marking.
But the marking, I think, is just for the mourners to go and say, I'm visiting. But I visit
no,
her.
No, yeah, but also, you know, it's also a whole big religion thing, you know, that, you know, you come from the earth and you die in the earth.
But you know what? Cremation is... If you're going to sprinkle my ashes, I'm part of the earth.
Of course,
definitely.
But you have nothing to visit. But you do visit. You go where you sprinkle the ashes.
But see, that's my thinking.
It's all the
is,
same.
I want to leave my mark in people's hearts. If somebody thinks about
and
me,
and that's
once
the
a
most
day,
important thing.
That's it.
That's it.
And I wouldn't
no
want somebody
what.
Have to come and well, let me go over there and see her. Oh, it's snowing. I don't want to get out there. Blah, blah, blah. You know, that's it.
Again. As we grow into different ages, different stages, different theories, different thinking, that's all old stuff again. It's all old tradition stuff, you know.
It is tradition.
I mean, till this day, you know, I know people that still go visit graves because that's what you're supposed to do.
My
you know,
Aunt Teresa. She goes, when she goes to graves.
Yeah, she goes, she spends the whole day there.
She closes the place. She closes the place. And she's, and you know what? She loves to do that. She'll go to each grave and say three prayers for each grave.
Right.
And then, oh, we have to go over here and see Uncle Stevie. Oh, we have to go over
here. Right. It's the same thing when I go see my father-in-law.
She
the whole family there.
She loves it.
But that's the way they were brought up.
And that's fine.
You know?
That's fine. And I'm not making light or making
fun. No, at all.
Good for you if that's what you want to do.
But things will change as we progress.
Well, I think that will always. We bury our dead. We put a headstone.
You know? Right.
That will always be. We've always
right.
done that.
But it
so.
Depends on going there, you know, and visiting the whole family.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, they're there. Well, you may as well say hello to so-and-so.
Well, you're going there for a reason.
Well, everybody's buried together, thank
right.
you. Well, although a couple people are a couple of rows apart. But that's our show.
That's it.
And next week, I'm trying to think, we're going to do some...
Let's give it a surprise.
We're going to do some live spots coming up for Women's History Month, and we're going to have some live events, so we'll be doing that. But in the meantime,
yeah,
on the East Coast, it's warmer, so enjoy it. On the West Coast, we don't care about you. No, we do. You're warm. We love you, but we're warm. We tease because we love. And just go out, make it a productive day. Do something good. Be kind to each other. And
be somebody's hero.
Yeah, be somebody's hero. And make your mark in the world in somebody's heart. Have a great day, people. Thank you, my wonderful.
Thank you.
My wonderful.
No, thank you.
Shotgun, ride or die.
That's always.
Best person.
Always.
Thank you, darling, for being with me another week. And let's let Nina take us home.
Here she comes.